Alright, what is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Chelas con Chavos. I'm, of course, John. I'm here once again with Gail. Well, it's been a couple days since a disappointing loss at Torero, the first ever playoff match at Torero, home match. A lot to uncover here. A lot of feelings, obviously, that you and I have. And, you know, we had a couple days, you know, since the match, obviously. And I'm happy we kind of did this now because, I mean, I'm still very, very upset. And I'm pretty sure you are as well, Miguel. Yeah. But I think that night and the couple of days after, it was kind of unbelievable. It was kind of surreal, just kind of like the events that happened that day. That day in reality, right? In all of San Diego sports, I mean, not all, but, you know, several, you know, you got baseball, SD Wave, San Diego Loyal losing, all three teams, you know, getting out of the playoffs. And it was just a surreal feeling, kind of like what happened type of thing. So it's like I'm happy we didn't do this that same night or the day after, a couple of days after, because it would have really been just all cursing pretty much.
Yeah, man.
I'm pissed off cursing, man. So how you doing, man? How's everything? Any news with you? What's going on?
I mean, it's been a little over a week, so I'm kind of back into regular San Diego sports fan zone. You know, like in the wintertime, there's no sports going on, so just getting ready for the soccers. But it's been pretty all right. excuse me, I got a little cough. But, you know, like you, it's just I was very upset, very pissed off for like 2-3 days. I don't know, man. I don't know what to think. I don't know how to feel. There was a lot riding on this season for a lot of reasons for all three teams. The silver lining that I'm going to take away from this is that at least we beat the Dodgers in the playoffs. That's pretty much it.
Really, right? So yeah, I mean, everyone already knows this. So we basically got our asses kicked, and I'm going to be using a little bit of more colorful language in this episode.
Yeah.
This will not be our last episode because there is still a lot of news going on around Loyal in San Diego at the moment in regards to soccer, football. So we still will have another episode or two regarding some interesting news that we'll get to at the end of the show. But first, obviously the main point is this match. So again, we basically got our asses kicked by Oakland Roots here at home. Very upsetting. Again, the Padres lost earlier in the day. SD Wave lost as well. And so in my opinion, you know, because I went to the match, I was looking forward to this for basically we knew we were in the playoffs, right, for about a month or a month and a half or so, yeah. Something like that. So we knew we were going to have a playoff game, you know, not necessarily a home playoff match, but we got that solidified. And I was, I had all these wonderful plans about the day. I was like, man, I know we're going to do this. I know the Padres lost and sending a Wave loss, and all eyes are on Loyal, right? Everything was on Loyal, all the pressure. And I got to tell you right now, man, when I was at the stadium, I just felt like this weird kind of just nervousness and tension, excitement, obviously a sold out crowd. Everybody was going to the match, in my opinion, expecting a win. Just because everyone just kind of knew, like, hey, you know, Loyal's, you know, doing really good right now. You know, they haven't got the results they, you know, wanted at the end. But, I mean, we're at home. You know, we got the, you know, Torero behind us, all the supporters and everything. And I just didn't think we were going to lose this match. But at the same time, there was just a weird feeling for me of just a nervousness before the match. You know, for me, I could just cut it, you know, with a butter knife. That's how thick it was. And I think a lot of people just expected the win. And then when Loyal, ended up giving up the first goal, by Roots, it was a great goal, I must say, by Roots. I don't think it was anyone's fault in particular. But when Roots scored that goal, it wasn't really, there wasn't really a feeling around that we weren't going to be able to recover from that, right? But there still was a kind of like just like a weird feeling about the, oh, you know, let's give it all we got because, you know, the match ain't over yet. You know, they scored in the 36th minute and, you know, definitely was a banger for them, for Roots. And but you know what? I think we've talked about this in the past before, but the way the Roots or a lot of teams when they play us, I kind of want to get your opinion on this first. And I kind of don't want to mention the C word, but it seems like a lot of times San Diego has these real finesse teams. And I know I'm sure you follow football, NFL, I'm pretty sure you heard that word. You know, we have a very finesse players. You know, we have talented players. But once we get those, you know, just so grunt, hard knock, just like blue collar teams that come in and kind of knock us about and knocks about our midfield, that's when we stumble. And then after that that goal by Root in the 36th minute, a lot of people in Torero knew we didn't think it was being the only goal of the match. There was going to be more coming, but unfortunately it wasn't ours. But I kind of want to see what you think of that first of all, that after that first goal, kind of what you thought. And did you think we were going to recover from that?
I kind of had some hope. I just, I don't think, I didn't think we were going to lose that bad, to be honest with you. I didn't think we were going to lose at all. I thought for sure the Loyal had everything going for them. And you know what? Yes. That Sunday morning when I woke up, I looked at the schedule and I was like, okay, Padres first, Wave second, and then Loyal third. And I thought to myself, I was like, man, wouldn't it just suck if all three teams lose? You know, I was like, I kind of had a feeling, you know what I mean? I was hoping the Padres were going to pull one off in Philly and then bring it home to San Diego. That didn't happen. I thought for sure the Wave, you know, being so dominant as it were the whole season, you know, going up to Portland, they're going to pull off an upset. That didn't happen. And I didn't definitely think that the Loyal were going to be, you know, laying down as they did. In a home, their first home playoff match to the last seed of the Western Conference, you know, at home, the way they did. And it was just, it was a sad day, man. I definitely didn't have the good, you know, I definitely didn't have any good feelings when the first goal went in. I thought after that things were rushed. I was very confused on why Vassell was not starting. I was very confused on, you know, why our best player wasn't out there from the beginning. You know, I have some theories in mind, but at the same time, it's like that to me kind of showed me like, okay, I don't know. I don't think they're putting the best foot forward. You know, it's like, I think they're just playing it safe, thinking that, hey, we're just going to pull this off. You know, it's just Oakland. And I think they fucked up. No, it's just straightforward. They just fucked up.
Yeah, you know, we got to put some you know, some of it on Landon, you know, right? And, you know, he's obviously the manager of the club, you know, but I want to talk about real quick what you just said, that if I was, you know, obviously this is, you know, what's today, Tuesday, you know, Tuesday evening quarterback in here, you know, but if you have a sale available and maybe he wasn't 100%, okay. But you know he's our most aggressive, you know, striker. And you know Roots are going to come in, you know, knocking us about. They're going to try to knock us about, put us out of our game. And you have to have someone starting, in my opinion, you have to have someone starting like Vassell to counter that. You know, because in my opinion, you know, Amang, he wasn't feeling it. You know, he wasn't himself. He didn't have a very physical partner up front. Guido's not really that type of player. Like I would say he's like a, you know, a finesse player in my opinion. You know, he's not going to be like a physical, you know, player like a Vassell or like a man can be. But I think Vassell should have started, even if he was only able to play like 20, 30 minutes. Well, you know what? Put Vassell in there, in my opinion, start him, have him go balls out, you know, for 20, 30 minutes and kind of see, you know, what happens there, you know, maybe get a goal in there. And then, hey, he's only able to give 30 minutes. Well, then, you know what, you know, try to hang him in there until, you know, the end of the first half and then kind of see what happens. But in my opinion, you know, like, I think Landon Donovan got it wrong. you know, got it wrong here with the lineup initially. You know, there wasn't really too many, you know, options besides Bissell that could have started as well, you know, because we had, you know, Hackworth, you know, on the bench, Kasanze, Riley, Carlton. You know, we're going to get into some of those players in a little bit, but, you know, Bissell, you know, but who else really can you, you know, bring on, right? But I mean, you have your most athletic and physical player in there. And you can tell too when Vassell came in into the match, later on in the match, everything changed. But before we get into that, what I really wanted to get into, which really, really pisses me off, is a second goal. The second goal, Kyle Adams, he, you know, gets the ball. There's a couple of Roots players around him pressuring him. You know, we were in our own half, and he passes the ball back to, or he thinks he's going to pass the ball back to Koke. But I'm telling you, I just hate it when players do that, especially the teams that I like watching, when they do a pass back to the goalie when you're under pressure in your own half. He could have definitely either held the ball. You know, I've seen it millions of times where a player is going to, like, just be calm, hold the ball, try to get a foul on him. You're over by the, you know, by the end line, or, you know, rather the sideline. You know, even you have it be where, like, you know, like, it's going to be dangerous to pass back. You know, just freaking kick it out, man. Kick the freaking ball out. That's like the most simplest rule I learned when I was playing soccer, is that when you're in doubt, kick it out. You know what I mean? Like, if you know you're getting pressured and you're not sure that pass is going to go back to where it needs to go to, kick it freaking out so we can get the defense to regroup. But no, Kyle Adams passes it back, which is the most freaking hated play that I hate watching. And then the Roots player just got aggressive on it. And then the ball didn't go to Koke as quick or as fast as it should have. And then, you know, Koke wasn't able to, block the ball from going into the back of the net, just because the Roots player, you know, got one up on him and was able to get past him and hit it on the back of the net. So now we're down 2-0, 52nd.
I know, man. That kind of play. I mean, I've had the opportunity to play almost every single position in the field. I played goalie in high school. I played forward, and then when I played a little bit in Europe, I played a little defense. But that to me, you're absolutely 100% right. I mean, under pressure like that, unless you're absolutely 120% sure, don't pass it back to the goalie when the other team is pressuring up front like that. You know, if there's nobody, there's only like one or two guys like pressuring, yeah, fine, pass it back. I mean, when we have that much going on, you know, you're better off, exactly like you said, man, just kick it out. I mean, we have a better opportunity just getting out during the, you know, getting out during the corner kick or the, you know, the throw-in. But at the same time, too, you know, those forwards and that other team is thinking, like, they may not be absolutely like looking at it 100%, but they're definitely thinking like, okay, I got to be ready just in case he passes that back. And they're anticipating that pass back, even though it's not the 100% guaranteed play, but they're anticipating it just in case, oh, if this happens, I'm ready to go. I'm there in that position. It's stupid mistakes, man. And I like, you know, like what we're talking about earlier, man, it's just that they went away from everything that they were doing right during the season and just reverted back to, oh yeah, let's play safe. And like you said, 100%, man, I agree with you 1000%. Even if Vassell was not 100%, the fact that he was still able to play 20-30 minutes at the end of the game, put him in for 20-30 minutes in the beginning of the game, let them see if they can get some pressure, you know, try to bring that defense back a little bit, or, you know, just try to get an early goal, see if that's possible, then come back with somebody and try to play counterattacks. Or, I mean, I don't know what the heck they were thinking, man. Yeah. It's if you're going to play it safe, don't play it safe in the beginning of the match, man. Just stick with works. Stick with what the hell is working for you, man. And I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and pretend to have all the answers, but the one thing I do know is that if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And why the hell are you trying to freaking change it up? Why? Like, I don't get it. I don't understand. I don't know if that's like a standard, you know, manager thing. Like, oh, you know, let's bring this guy in to see what's going on. Then we'll bring in our guy. Like, why? Why not just bring him in from the beginning, get that pressure on, and then, you know, you never have to, you know, you don't have to worry about it. Like, if he scores a goal, great. If he scores two goals, great. You're up 2-0 by the halftime. Like I don't understand. I just don't get it.
Yeah. So the weird thing about that is, so right after the Roots scored, 2-3 minutes after, you know, speaking of the devil, you know, Kyle Vassell gets subbed in, and then the game changed dramatically. There was more opportunities given. I wrote down a note that I counted over about four or five balls that Loyal had that went over the crossbar, and Kyle around the 60th. By the time Kyle Vassell. So, but before Kyle went in, there's a couple balls that went over the crossbar. But Roots, you know, Roots players were more on point. But my point being is that that it just wasn't our night, right? It just wasn't really going for well. But Kyle Vassell, right when he came on, you know, you could just completely tell the big difference of him being on the pitch. But I think for me, it was already too late. You have your two goals down. I mean, yeah, 2-0 is the most dangerous scoreline in soccer. But I think it was just too late for us at this point. We don't have the players of, like, you know, first division potential to get another player in there to come back from 2-0 at this from the roster that I just mentioned, from the lineup, from initial lineup.
Just to caveat all that, dude, I don't want anybody to think that I don't support, like, this is a normal fan reaction, right? Like,
yeah,
like, everybody has a right to be pissed off. And I think the players and the front office and the staff, they all know, damn, we fucked up. They should know. If they don't, then they don't deserve to be there. You know, it's like, I'm not going to sit here. I'm not going to give a, you know, like, kudos to, oh, you know, great season, job well done. Nah, man, we had it. We had it. It was there. It was there for us. And what we do, we fucking lost. We lost three players playing with eight men. In embarrassing fashion. And then on top of that, too, in a day where the Padres lost and the San Diego Wave lost, and this is your opportunity to freaking, if you're making a statement for why you should be getting your own, you know, stadium, or why you should be getting promoted to MLS, or why San Diego should be paying attention to you, this was the game to do it, because at that point in time, we were the only team left standing in San Diego. And that's why I think people started getting pissed off in the stands.
Spot on. So let's get into that. Definitely spot on. So again, how you just said, all the eyes were going to be on Loyal. Like, how could you lose this match, in my opinion, right? Like, how can you lose this? You as a coach need to prepare your players to be calm, cool, collected, knowing that you know the type of Roots, you know, games that we've had, how physical they are. And I know you know this too, Miguel, and everyone that's listening, but when we had, like, Orange County come in, even Phoenix come in, these are some very physical teams. And when they come in, some of those, their game plans are to knock us about, get physical, you know, with their midfield players, where the midfield players are getting bumped around.
And yeah, we're going to get red cards.
Yeah, and they know, because we have some very emotional players. Yeah, they're gonna react, and that's what happened here. So let's get into this. What happened? So, an off the ball incident, and literally, I'm talking about a man here. We're gonna be dissecting this a little bit. So I'm sorry, getting a little bit heated now, everybody. But there was an off the ball incident where a man was tussling with a Roots player, and then it was right in front of the freaking referee. Referees gonna call that all day. They're tussling, and then the ref ended up calling, the foul, a man was separated. He got yellow carded. He got separated from the player because they were chirping back and forth. But for some reason, he was alone. The guy was like 10 yards away from him. He goes up to the guy, ends up sticking his finger, you know, in his freaking face, you know, like telling him like something like, hey, you know what you did, or you know you're playing dirty, whatever it is.
Just leave them alone.
Leave it alone. This is the thing about it, though. It's like nobody, besides Kyle Vassell, he was calming a man down. And that's why I give credit to Kyle Vassell, because when he came on, he was trying to cool the nerves, because you would know, well, you know, by watching Kyle Vassell that he's a very, very a passionate player. Like, he puts it all on the pitch, and you know that. You know, we've seen what he's done, you know, where he's got a red card before, you know, at Torero for, you know, for being physical. But for here, I think he knew what was at stake, and he knew what was going on. And I give credit to him, because he was actually one of the only players I saw that when people were getting some of the players were getting overheated, some of the loyal players, that he was actually coming around and trying to calm them down. So yeah, he tried to do the same thing with the Meng, you know, after he got the, you know, Meng went back and gave him the finger of death, you know, to the Roots player. And obviously he flopped. And again, why did you do that? The ref saw it again. The ref's eyes are on you, what you're doing, how you're behaving. You get a second yellow, you get a red card. Meng starts, you know, obviously getting pissed off. And I tell you about a man right now, he did not play happy. Usually when you see him play, he's smiling. He'll get offside, but he's laughing, smiling, because he knows, hey, he could have done better, or he's having a good time playing. He was not, from the minute one, I did not see a man play with happiness this match. And that's how I thought something was off.
Yeah.
So just getting into just what happened here during this particular event, and kind of see what your idea is, or your thoughts are. But right after that, a man gets sent off. You know, he got red carded. Vassell's trying to calm him down, tell him just to go. Hey, man, just walk off the pitch. You know, what's more important right now is that we're down 2-0. So he's trying to get a man off. And then at some point, you know, Guido ends up getting some point after that, Guido ends up getting a red card as well, just because he was already going on a second yellow from earlier in the match, you know, over at the sixth minute. So he already had a yellow, Guido, and then he starts chirping off and being aggressive and getting a foul on a Roots player, and ends up getting sent off in the 79th minute. So now we're down two players when it's really contested right now. We're down 2-0, and not even that, everyone at the stadium knows, or even if you're watching the match, you knew that the Roots players were wasting time.
Yeah.
The freaking goalkeeper of Roots, this Blanchett guy, he was wasting time from not even the first goal. Like, he just knew. Like, that's what I'm telling you. Roots had a freaking game plan of wasting time, getting in the heads of loyal players, and they did it before the goal. Because, you know, I was there and I was witnessing what the goalie was doing for the Roots. That, like, he was wasting time. He was not going for the balls that were, you know, the balls that were going, you know, at the outside the goal line, the sideline, that he was supposed to either get a goal kick or whatnot, a direct kick. He was taking his sweet time. You know, the Torero was erupting on, you know, getting pissed off at him. And then that's where you knew that this was not going to be an easy match. But so now, what are your thoughts here with, you know, Guido getting sent off, a Meng, and then kind of just, like, you know, the events until then?
You know what? It's just it's the playoffs, man. I don't care if it gets emotional. I don't care if during the regular season, fine. You know, emotions run high. When you get a red card, you know, the worst that could happen is you don't get 3 points, and then you get a game suspension. But at the same time, this is a win or you're out situation. Like, there's no tomorrow. It's not guaranteed. You either win or you go home. And the fact that and again, I'm not saying that I've never been there or I'm never going to have that situation before, or, like, you know, obviously I know emotions run high, but if given the situation that we were in, they should have been better. They should have done better. They should have been better. There should have been the bigger people. The fact that Among just, like, could not control his own emotions, really fucked up. The fact that Guido, that knows he's in a yellow and decides to freaking just get even more aggressive and push the envelope, and not saying that he deserved it. Maybe the referee was looking at something. I've said it before and I've said it again. I do not want to leave these games to the referees. We all know they suck. Everybody knows they suck. And the fact that people say, oh, no, the refereeing was just bad, it was terrible, they put us... No. The referees did what they thought they were doing right. We, or not even... the San Diego Loyal did not keep their heads. They knew the situation. They knew what was at stake, and they decided to just freaking push the envelope anyway. Like anybody, even if the worst referee in the world, something happens to you, all right, cool, brush it off. You're down 1-0. I mean, you're like, you're losing. I mean, I don't even know if it was 1-0 at that point. I think we were down 2-0 at that point already. And it's like, you already know you're losing. Why the hell are you going to put the team in a situation where they have to play down 10 men? And then 4 minutes later, the play hasn't even started yet. Now you're automatically down to 9 men. Like, why the hell? And that's coming from our captain, or I mean, one of our leaders. Like, why would you do that?
Yeah.
Why would you put that team in that big of a deficit? And on top of that, too, like what you're talking about, like the fans started getting pissed off. I mean, by that point, we've already, everybody's been pre-gaming. Everybody's already like 2-3 beers deep already. So, yeah, of course, we're going to be freaking running out of emotions. You know, and the fact that everybody's telling us like, oh, man, you know, you guys got to calm down, your fans. No, we deserve better. We deserve better than that crap that was put on the field. Like, everybody knows that. This was our first game. The players know this is our first game at home. The players know they play better than this. They know they should be better than this. And I don't care. Like, I don't, like, if anybody's going to be, oh, put yourself in their shoes. Yeah, I have been in their shoes. You know what? Like, maybe not in that scenario where it's like you got thousands of people looking at you. But at the same time, like, I know when something's at stake, like, I'm playing my heart out and that's it. I'm not going to argue with anything. I'm not going to try to put my team in jeopardy. I'm not going to try to put other players in jeopardy. I'm not going to try to put myself in a position where I'm going to get kicked out of something that I really care about. And, you know, it's upsetting, dude. It's really upsetting. I thought they're professionals, man. They should know better than this. Like, this is, they're not getting paid millions of dollars, man. They're not going to go home to, like, mansions. You know, they're second division USL players, dude. They should be able to at least freaking put some heart out there. That's it.
Yeah, and you know, and again, you know, after seeing a man get sent off, I think Guido should know, you know, obviously emotions are running high, but you should know, hey, we can't lose another player. Everyone just shut up and let's start playing ball. We've done it before. You know, we've done it before where we're down a person and we can get a good result. But no, you know, Guido gets sent off as well. And so now we're down 2 players, right? So 9 against 11. And then at some point, a few minutes after that, the 84th minute, we just start losing it, start breaking down even worse. And Grant Soman gets a foul. And then just 4 minutes later, Grant Soman gets another foul and gets a second yellow. Well, you know, he got the first yellow in the 84th minute. You got the second yellow in the 88th minute, and obviously there you go again. A red card for Grant Stoneman, which was obviously going to come. You know, he's our main man, really, in their defense. And, you know, likes getting those yellows, and this is a point where, you know.
But at that point, though, I mean, for Grant Stoneman, it's like I'm not going to blame him at that point. I mean, it's like you're playing 9-11, and you're just getting your ass handed to you, like. You're at that point, you're just trying to do anything and everything to try to stop him. So not only did those 2 red cards, you know, put us in a disadvantaged situation, it put our defense and our players on the field in a situation where they have to stop the bleeding. And what are they going to do with the stop of bleeding? The first thing, you start being aggressive, right? And when you start being aggressive, you stop thinking, and then you start tackling, and you just start trying to stop him at all means possible. And of course it was going to happen. It's just inevitable.
Yeah. And I don't blame, like, again, how you just said, you know, obviously I'm not surprised it was Grant Stoneman, but I mean, what else is he going to do? You know? Right. Yeah. But shortly after that, you know, we're holding him at least. Right. But I mean, I'm not really blaming Grant on this one. I think the main event that really affected this was the whole Amang situation with Guido. But shortly after Stoneman got sent off, and now we're 8 players down. I'm sorry. We're 8 players and 3 players down. And then we have another goal from Roots in the 91st minute, which obviously, you know, sealed the deal, which basically was already sealed the deal right after the second goal. But you could just tell the ambiance got ugly. Things are getting thrown on the pitch. You know, there's a ref you suck chance, which obviously I completely agree with. The refereeing right now in USL is freaking disgustingly horrible the past couple of months that I've seen in multiple matches across the USL. But how you said, you don't leave it up to the referee. And that's what I'm trying to say is, like, I put this, obviously you're going to blame the leaders, right? I put this on LD that you, as a manager, you've been there before. You've been to the World Cups. You've been to these championship matches. You know, you did not, I don't think he did the good job. You know, you did not do a good job of leveling the heads of these players and letting them know that, hey, you know, all San Diego's watching us right now. And we went out in the most disgusting, horrible fashion. Again, I thought it was freaking embarrassing for all the players, you know, for all the people that
was embarrassing for the fans. Whole match. It was embarrassing for the whole organization as a whole.
For us.
Yeah, I mean, the ref didn't put up those two goals. The ref didn't put us in a disadvantage in those two goals. Those two goals came well before the red cards. Like, I can give a two shits about, like, what anybody says, like, oh, yeah, refs, you suck, like, all that. Yeah, no, fuck that. Like, we did not put ourselves in that hole.
Yeah.
And, you know, the most embarrassing part about it for me was after everything that happened throughout the day, I had friends that had never seen a Loyal match watching the game because I hyped it up so much. I was like, dude, this is a playoff chance. I mean, we're going to get it. We're going to do this. I have a really good feeling about this. Like, follow this team. And then all that shit happened, and I'm getting text messages from all my friends, and I'm not even answering back because I have no comeback to what the fuck is happening. Like, I sat there, and I mean, I'm still going to defend this team until anything happens, until they're no longer a team, or if that ever does happen. I don't want that to happen, but I'm still going to defend them to the end. I'm still going to push other people to go watch a game. But I was very embarrassed, not only for the fans. I was embarrassed that after everything that happened all season, all the great things that happened all season, the one time that everybody that I recommended watched the game because they were just down, they watch a game and they're like, yeah, whatever, man. This is typical San Diego shit. Like, really, man? Come on.
Yeah.
You had it. You had it. Was right there for you to grab it.
Yeah, and then we just Loyal just did not come to the plate. But again, I was embarrassed for all the Twitter, you know, the Twitter world, you know, people, you know, were hyping up, you know, the game that Loyal's going to do it. Loyal's going to be the team that's going to win one of the playoff matches of the day. You know, that since the other teams lost, you know, different sports, that Loyal was going to do it. Complete embarrassment. All eyes were on Loyal that evening. Completely just an ugly showing. And like, I put it on some social media that I've seen better, you know, soccer, football games played with more composure coming from like a Division III or Division IV side. We completely lost our cool. There was, I don't know what was, you know, obviously I was in the locker room, but I don't know how Landon prepared his players, but I don't think he prepared them. And a lot of people can point that he was in LA, doing announcing a match, an MLS match and things of that sort. But you know what I'm going to say about LD is that I'm going to be straight up, you know, if he does not take Loyal, if we stay in the USL, we're going to get to the MLS right now in a minute. But if we stay in the USL, which I'm pretty positive we'll get to that in a moment, that if he doesn't get the Loyal past the first round of the playoffs, I think there needs to be a change. Dramatically, when you have players like you look who we brought in for this game. Vassell comes in at 55th minute. Then you get Carlton. That's the only other player that came in. Who else are you going to bring in? Hackworth, Riley. You know, they're not going to be the players that are going to do anything. Carlton hasn't proved that he can do anything. And for I'm going back here. And a more an upsetting time here in the beginning of the season about, you know, Carlton coming on. But I don't see what he brought to this team. I think we mentioned it, or I mentioned it before a couple episodes ago, that I just don't see what he brings to this team. And he doesn't prove to me that he should be here next year. You know, a lot of people think that he might come back next year. But honestly, if he does, I think it's going to be an uproar, you know, from the supporters if he does come back. But I just don't see him, you know, having any value in this team, but we need to have better players. But if LD does not get this team past the next round of the playoffs, I think there needs to be a change.
I mean, honestly, besides Carlton, I really don't really see any any glaring holes. I mean, we do need a defender, but at the same time, we were a team. This was a complete team. I think it was. I think it was enough to be able to get us far. And it sucks that it had to go that way, man. I don't think it's as much as I don't want to, like, Landon, yeah, he should have better game plan. But at the same time, Among's not, you know, he's not a horrible forward. You know, he's there for a reason. I don't understand. I'm honestly in the thought that this team was good enough to win the championship, and they just did not do it.
Yeah.
And I don't think adding more players or different players, me personally, that's my personal opinion. I don't think adding more players is going to make a big change. Maybe a defender, who knows? But I don't think they could have done they could have done better. They could have been a better team. But at the same time, this team was good enough to be able to win the championship. And also, before we move forward, too, I also want to, like, talk about, like, you know, like, the crowd and stuff like that with throwing bottles. I personally take a little offense to people trying to blame the Tribals for throwing shit. That was not us. I mean, if anybody has any issues with, you know, like, oh, with the Tribals or anything like that, or people, like, thinking, oh, we're not going to be anybody's scapegoats, all right? If anybody wants to come talk to me, talk to some of our leadership, like, we're more than welcome. But I'm tired of people sitting here saying that we're the ones throwing shit. We're the ones that are not controlling ourselves. Like, no, that's bullshit, dude. Like, we have a lot of drunk people in that section. And at the same time, like, we're not going to be anybody's scapegoats. So if anybody has any issues with, like, the way the Chavos are, you know, portraying themselves or behaving themselves, come talk to us. Because you know what? Like, I'm tired of that shit, man. I'm tired of anybody thinking that we're the worst people out there. No, we're just a little rowdy. You know, we're loud. But that's it. But we're not going to be sitting there throwing shit at the field. You know, like, that's fucking stupid, man. I got all riled up, man. Fuck.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Well, first of all, you know, I definitely concur in what you just said right there. You know, but that's another reason why I'm happy that we didn't talk about this the day or two after the match, just because, you know, this would have been more of a heated, you know, conversation right now. Yeah. But yeah, no, I completely agree. There's already fingers being pointed, you know, to us. And I'm not, you know, really appreciative of that. You know, a lot of people there were obviously upset. You know, I saw a lot of nasty things, you know, there. And I'm not going to say who it was, you know, but because I'm not the type of person, you know. So I just know that these things get heated. I'm just embarrassed of the event, just because there's families there.
Yeah.
It wasn't just Section 109, but there's families there. The way we were embarrassed on TV. That people who have never even heard of Loyal were going to watch, because there was a lot of people there that I saw that I've never seen before.
Yeah.
People were bringing their family, significant others, kids. Yeah. And I was just really embarrassed at the showing that people saw, and then that they're probably a memory of this season is looking at that game and seeing what happened, the embarrassment that happened to us. And then, and how are you going to bring up fans, and then just the way the fans reacted, you know, and then the display on the pitch, and then just what was going on around San Diego, that it was just not a good moment. But that's when you shouldn't be, you know, pointing fingers at certain people. Was pretty much all around the stadium. Yeah, certain groups. I was seeing it all around the stadium, and it's not
it's
right.
It's not right, man. So, like I said, if anybody has any issues, come talk to myself, Johnny, anybody in Chavos leadership. Like, we'll be more than happy to freaking tell you about it, man, because it's like, honestly, this whole blaming things on us, it's just, it's getting old. It got old in Phoenix.
Yeah.
And it's getting old in this thing.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, exactly. So that's definitely a discussion we could have at some point later. But so I want to get into the juicy stuff here. You know, we kind of went on our rants here. So again, you know, we just keep talking about the embarrassment. San Antonio lost, or I'm sorry, they won their first playoff match. And so did Colorado. So the top for one seed and two seed are still in it, and us, the number two seed, are out. So that just kind of just shows you how the preparation for this match against Roots was totally just, you know, not there. It just fell apart. So anyways, so let's move on from that. So before we end the episode, I just wanted to get into the rumblings that's been going on around that. MLS is obviously having an interest right now. I want to get into the whole, everything that's been put out there. But right now there's news just coming out that the MLS is most likely going to be announcing another expansion team, possibly playing in either 2024, 2025. A lot of things went are not going Las Vegas' way at the moment. You know, we obviously know what happened with Sacramento. The good thing about San Diego in a nutshell is that there's a stadium ready there, you know, Mission Valley, that's, you know, ready for to receive an MLS club. Right now, you know, if you, you know, obviously are in the whole loop of the season ticket member news that the monthly with leadership was pushed back, and it just so happens we have pushed back to a day that's after the winter meetings for MLS, when they're potentially probably going to be announcing what their decision is on the expansion. A lot of people are not sure, or, you know, there's not really much news if it's going to be loyal or not. A lot of people are speculating, you know, there's theories that could be, that it can't be. A lot of people obviously want loyal to get, you know, get the name promoted and obviously, you know, get Landon and, you know, the ownership and leadership involved in that negotiation there. You know, we have, or, you know, talk about an Egyptian billionaire along with Saquon, Kumeyaay tribe, you know, Saquon Casino being part of the management. And for one, for me, I'm just going to get your opinion after this, but right now Saquon's doing, you know, has a relationship with Loyal right now. Obviously, if you go into the matches, you see the Saquon tents and, you know, the Saquon sponsorships and stuff like that. So they have a relationship with Loyal already right now. I don't see them turning their back on them and, you know, hop skipping to a Egyptian billionaire just because they're going to bring the MLS club here. I have a lot of respect for Saquon. A lot of my friends are from that, you know, from that area or from Saquon tribe, you know, so, and I know how they work over there in regards to having a really close relationship with San Diego. You know, they've done it with the Padres. You know, they're not going to be, in my opinion, turn their back on Loyola just because an MLS club is coming. Hey, potentially can they be sponsoring and doing both? You know, that could be true. But I really have a feeling that it is going to be Loyal. However, we don't know. I mean, I think there's something would have been leaked out, in my opinion, not necessarily from the Loyal camp, you know, or organization club. I think more of like an MLS side would leak something that that's looking more likely that it's going to be ST Loyal. But that's the big news right now, and I want to see what your input is.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to ignore what the Loyal have built. It's hard to ignore the culture, the fan base, the foundations that they built. I don't think that anybody that's looking at MLS, looking here, can ignore San Diego Loyal. Mm-hmm. They can't ignore the fan base. They can't ignore the crowd. They can't ignore the, you know, like if you go to, sorry, if you go to the San Diego Wave game, you know, a lot of those guys are, you know, casual soccer fans, right? You know, San Diego Loyal, they built a fan base from the beginning, from the ground up. And I can tell you that right now, those same people say San Diego Loyal are not involved into MLS and the San Diego MLS team. I can tell you that right now, the same fans will be involved, you know? So it's like the locals, a lot of people from the locals will be involved in MLS. I'm pretty sure the Chavos would be involved in some sort of MLS with that team if the San Diego Loyal was not around, right? So that's my reasoning for thinking that the Loyal is probably going to be that. You know, I'm pretty sure somebody's approached Andrew. I'm pretty sure maybe Andrew's approached somebody about that. But it'd be really hard to ignore the San Diego Loyal, given that the last few expansion teams, with the exception of Inter Miami, went to former USL clubs, right? Like the last, I think, like four out of the last six expansion teams were former USL clubs, and it's a proven success model. You know, those clubs are the ones that would have the biggest fan bases, and those clubs are the ones that are more successful right now. You know, you have your Portland Timbers, you have your Seattle Sounders, you have your Cincinnati FC. You know, you have Who else out there? Like, well, Austin. Austin's one of those brand new clubs.
Orlando.
Orlando City. Yeah, they got promoted from USL too. And Charlotte too. Charlotte got promoted from USL. Yeah. Montreal got promoted. Vancouver got promoted. It's like it, and those are some of the more popular clubs. It's a proven model to work. And I can tell you that right now, for a team in San Diego, if there's going to be an MLS team that is successful, it has to be a team that has been brought up from the ground up. Not somebody who's going to be like, oh yeah, cool, I just bought a team, I'm going to do whatever willy-nilly, put in you know, Snapdragon. Like, yeah, just start from whatever, not do any kind of research, not do any kind of naming thing. No, why not just buy out a team that's already done that work for you, right?
Yeah.
You know, and they've already built that culture. They've already built that fan base. Just promote that team and let that take over. But, I mean, I know there's been a lot of rumblings and stuff like that, and it's going to be one of those things like, let's just wait for the winter meetings. But I've been wrong a lot this season, man. I might be completely wrong for this one too, so.
Yeah.
I don't want to put the horse ahead of the carriage, you know, or the, yeah, whatever the fuck, however you say that.
But, I think it's good news, definitely for San Diego Loyal, especially with the nation seeing all the fervor, right? The fan fervor of the Padres, you know, the fan fervor, the fanatics, you know, that San Diego's been showing with across the sports of baseball, with Wave, you know, filling up Snapdragon, and then again with Loyal, what Loyal's doing, you know, being one of the top clubs, in my opinion, in the USL right now, with the top fan bases, and top footy, you know. So I think it's definitely have gone noticed to where I think that even though it's being kept pretty shut right now, that I think it's really looking good for Loyal. And hey, you know what, like, if you're going to tell me that we're going to stay in USL forever, and I'll be like, okay, well, you know, I'm down with that, you know, whatever. But if you're going to tell me that we have the opportunity to go to MLS, LD still involved, and Andrew still involved, and Ricardo still involved, and, you know, with some, you know, with some percentage or some minimal involvement or whatever, and we're going to, you know, the team's going to be going to MLS and then bringing in some top names and potentially having some first-rate division players here.
But you know, we're going to lose that intimacy. We're going to lose that. I mean,
definitely.
Come on, man. We got, like, Jack Blake comes into my bakery in Chula Vista, man. That guy's a fucking class act, right? I mean, like, you know, you got Kyle Vassella just comes out to the parking lot, has a couple tacos with you. It's just the fact that USL players are so personable. If we do it, I mean, I'm not getting ahead of myself here, but if we do go to MLS, that's probably the most I'm going to miss from having that USL is that interaction with the players. The fact that it's going to be like these guys are just coming in, they're going to come in and do a job and then freaking go back to Miami, wherever they live, you know, like, no, the USL players, they live here, they work here, they breathe San Diego. Yeah. So I don't know, man. Yeah. I think I'll be happy either way. I'll be happy if San Diego doesn't get a club and we stay in the USL, and I'll be happy if San Diego gets a club and the Loyal move up with that club. You know, I'll be happy either way. And either way, we just got to figure out, we got to know that we're part of this grassroots. Like, whoever's going to decide to invest in San Diego, whether it be Andrew or somebody else, or Andrew in a group later on down the line, they're going to know that it's not going to happen without us. And, you know, it's not going to happen without what was built from the ground up. So I think I'm looking forward to that the most. But, yeah, I would say that if I'm going to miss one thing, it's going to be the USL player interactions.
No, I agree. And just to note on that if San Diego does have an MLS club and it does become Loyal, that Loyal wouldn't probably be moved up to MLS probably till the earliest of 2024. But there's rumblings about possibly 2025 to get a really solid preparation for being an MLS. Cause, like, you know, it's not easy just doing, hey, a year from now, we're going to be already providing an MLS club and having the whole functionality of it already there. So if we do go up to MLS, we're going to have at least, I would suggest, you know, the club to decide maybe 2025, so we can just still have, you know, those Vassells, you know, and those Coques here. there for a year or two and establish a relationship, and they'll always have a home here.
Yeah, and then also like we're going to be able to build, up our fan base as well too. So, exactly. it's gonna get better. We're gonna get better. You know, we're gonna get people more involved. You know, we have big things planned for the Chavos. You know, I know the locals have big things planned for themselves too. But at the same time, like, you know, we get to establish ourselves as an independent group, and not have to depend a lot on you know, the locals. Like what their infrastructure, right? Because they're very well organized. We all know that. We understand that they're very well organized, and a lot of stuff that happened this year, or the last 2 years, actually would not be possible if it wasn't, you know, for them opening up the doors for, like, you know, the bus trips and, like, you know, for like the away days and then just kind of getting like there. But we've slowly been able to establish those, you know, those areas by ourselves. But I think we're going to get more organized as, you know, as the season comes. And yeah, I'm ready, man. I'm ready for anything.
Yes, yes. And those words, I completely agree. I'm looking forward to next year. I know there's a lot of things to work on in many ways, you know, with us and Chavos and the supporters groups. I think it's going to be an exciting, 2023 season, but there's a lot of work to do. There's going to be a lot of news still coming out. So this is not the last episode, guys. There's going to be a lot of juicy news coming forth. I'm pretty sure the next couple
of
weeks, and we got the World Cup too. So this is not the last of us, but it is the last of tonight.
Yeah,
because
I know. Yeah, we're gonna have some World Cup specials and stuff like that. And also, I want to remind everybody too that before we head out on Thanksgiving Under the Bridge, it's set. We're gonna start collecting food, turkeys, gift cards, whatever you can provide. Just keep an eye out on the Instagram page and on Twitter to, you know, make sure that you guys know when and where to drop off. And I think actually our friends from the locals are going to help us out this time, you know, to hand out and stuff like that. So, you know, we're going to have a lot more hands on deck for sure.
Definitely. Yeah. All right, everybody. Well, thank you for tuning in. Look forward to seeing y'all at some point later on during this off season. I know there's going to probably be a season ticket member event going on. Provided by the club. So we'll see y'all then and other events that supporters groups will be throwing in the next couple weeks or months. So until then, everybody,
thank you for listening. Peace out, everyone.
Peace.